Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
They are standing and loving every moment of this right now here at Minute Maid Park. Presley the set, and the 0-2 is swinging a ground ball weakly, hit up the middle. It hits the bag, bounces to Altuve, and he throws to first to end the ball game. It looked like it hit second base, but it still bounced to Altuve, and he made the play to end the game as the Astros take game one by a score of 4-2.
There's a line in the movie Gladiator. It takes place early on in the movie. Maximus, played by Russell Crowe, was sitting with his lieutenant, or whatever the Limeys call their lieutenants. He looks to his right, and the lieutenant says, "A people should know when they are conquered." And I feel like if you are a New York Yankees fan, you are feeling that way today because the Houston Astros once again own that booty. A 4-2 victory last night at Minute Maid Park. I was there in attendance. Shout out to my center field margarita bros. Shout out to Youssef, who I met while walking around, and anybody else who might have seen me and the giant eyebrows along the way. I'm in a great mood this morning. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Sean, how are you feeling after the Astros took a 1-0 ALCS lead?
Doing good. I think you said it best. I think it was sometime in the sixth inning you texted me, "Man, after all the trash I talked, really hope we win this one."
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you cash more checks than you can actually cash. Is that the saying? I don't know. I butchered
it. Write more checks than you can
cash. Just commit tax fraud and check fraud. Right, like That's how things work today. You know, you can put yourself in a ton of credit card debt. Just get another credit card. It's going to be fine. But as the game began, I started thinking to myself, oh, man, I mean, I have talked a lot of trash about the Yankees. And luckily, the Astros backed it up. But it wasn't the guys you were expecting. Maybe you thought that Yordan Alvarez, after a game three where the Mariners were like, "Wait, we don't want this anymore," and started throwing around him, that he would be able to get back on track. Maybe Jose Altuve, who was 0-16 in the ALDS, would find a way to get back to hitting the way that he was the last couple of weeks of the season. Maybe it's Kyle Tucker. Maybe it's Alex Bregman picking up where he left off in the ALDS. But what's crazy is that if you watched last night's game, those four were 0-12. And then you take a look at the rest of the lineup. Guys like Chaz McCormick starting in center field. Never let Jake Myers in again. Guys like, once again, Yuli Gurriel stepping up in that sixth spot. Guys like, hell, Martin Maldonado. I mean, did not expect you to hit a double into the right center gap that would score the first run of the game. But more than anybody, this guy is beginning to believe. And it's one thing to do what he did against the Mariners in the divisional series, but everybody, we all need to say it together. You know what I'm about to do, if you've been listening long enough.
Jeremy Pena, two doubles and a home run yesterday.
Jeremy Pena has been so good in these playoffs, but yesterday, okay, I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, but we all thought Carlos Correa was the Yankee killer. Altuve's done well against them in the past. Justin Verlander's had some good moments. We'll talk about Verlander a little bit later on. But that's your first performance against the New York Yankees. You are new to this. You are new to this rivalry. And I thought, okay, well, maybe because he's new, he's not going to have as much pressure on his shoulders. He doesn't have any of that, oh, you were a part of the cheaters. But for him to hit a double his first at-bat, a double later, and hit a home run in his first game against New York, even if this isn't the greatest New York team that we have seen over the last 5 years, that is an unbelievable way to start off your role in this rivalry. And I remember thinking to myself, when they were not able to bring Carlos Correa back into the fold, and I will fall on the sword for this, and I will twist that sword around, I thought that they were going to miss Correa this time of year. Last series, Pena belonged. Now, last night, Pena carried this team because the guys hitting around him, Jose Altuve struggled. Wasn't Alex Bregman's best night. They're not throwing to Yordan Alvarez. The top of the order didn't do much for you, and you still won. And it just goes to show you how deep this team is. Here's Jeremy Pena going yard in the seventh inning. Once that happened, you knew the game was done.
1-1 is a swing and a towering fly ball to deep left field and gone. Jeremy Pena gives it a ride, and it is 4-1 Houston.
You did it wrong.
Jeremy Pena gave it a ride right there.
See, that's how you do it. And sorry in advance, but if this is not stuck in your head every single time Jeremy Pena is at the plate, you ain't one of the Paul Gallant Show real ones. Sean Mapes, I mean, I hope that you like this, because this Jeremy Pena thing, it's been going on for a while. We've been doing it. But now that like it's happening in real playoff primetime action, this is our chance to cement our legacy as a trend-setting show here in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, no, it's something you've done, I think, since basically game one of the Jeremy Pena experience. And yeah, it is something that every time he makes a big play at this point, I am like, Jeremy Pena.
Jeremy Pena. I'm doing it in the press row. I don't give a damn.
Oh, that's you're going to get some side eyes from
whatever.
From John Heyman and Bob Costas.
John Heyman wouldn't make eye contact with me. Hmm. I mean, he probably saw my chest and he's like, oh, I blocked this guy.
Oh, he's bigger than I thought in person.
A lot bigger. John
more of a ledium than a smedium.
Definitely thought that. That's for sure. Man, he wears a large. I that was the first time I've ever seen Heyman in person. Like, and it was funny because I was like, oh, that's John Heyman. And I don't know. I would have been nice if he actually said hi to me. I guess he actually gave the Astros credit in his New York Post piece. He said it's not all due to cheating. About time somebody who covers that team acts like it's not all about cheating in the past. Jeremy Pena said something awesome after the game. I went to the podium, sat down, and he heard from a bunch of different players. He also heard from, I went to the locker room and I heard from Martin Maldonado and some other guys. But Jeremy Pena had this to say, and it really is just so true about this lineup, which is maybe not as destructive as it has been in years past when Springer was still here and Correa was still here and Michael Brantley was healthy. But it's still really good. Again, here's Jeremy Pena.
I always say that's what makes us so good. You know, we pick each other up on any given night. You know, sometimes when we don't put together quality at-bats, our pitchers carry us. And when they don't have their day on the mound, we carry them with the lineup. And 1-9 in our lineup could be, you know, the game winners any given day. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, our lineup is deep, and anybody could be the hero any given day.
It feels that way, that last part in particular. It does actually feel that way right now. Chaz McCormick deserves a lot of credit. He finally seems to have cemented his role as the center fielder. I don't know why they went to Jake Myers. That was a mistake. McCormick is a better hitter. McCormick is a pretty good fielder. I feel that they're going to go with him going forward. Dusty Baker essentially endorsed it after the game. Yuli Gurriel in that six hole has been money. I was listening to the Wheelhouse on the way into the stadium yesterday, and I think Cody was the one who brought it up, saying maybe it was Brad, one or the other. And they weren't suggesting it was going to happen, but they were saying, hey, look, Yuli in the playoffs is playing better than Yuli in the regular season. Doesn't that seem like something that maybe isn't likely to continue? And yet, it has. And it's been going on with Yuli for a couple of weeks. Considering the bad start he had after he stopped, what, eating pizza, drinking Coca-Cola? Maybe you want to bulk back up a little bit. You're thinking that along the entire course of the season. Maybe he started doing that again.
Yeah, he's cheating on his diet during the playoffs.
Good. I mean, honestly, that might help.
I mean, look at the results.
Yeah.
It's not hurting.
Look, baseball's weird, okay? I was listening to some podcast talk about what Babe Ruth was eating every single day. And I just thought to myself, like, first off, the poor toilets. Second, how? Third, wait. This was the best player in baseball. How did he do all of these things? It's not like he was like some 7'8" behemoth or something like that. Like he was like, I think he was like a 6'2", 6'3", like kind of fat guy. Not like high key fat, low key fat, as the Gen Zers
thick.
Say. Thick with like 2 C's, maybe 3 C's.
After a big meal, 3 C's.
Yeah. Maybe more of a chonk than a thick. Thick can be like attractive, right? Like was Babe Ruth attractive? I don't know. I wouldn't know. Back in the 20s, people did like him a little bit meatier. I don't know. I prefer another type. Some comments. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. They seem convinced that the TBS broadcast were Yankee fans. I honestly, since I've been at most of the games, humble brag, I haven't heard the actual play-by-play. I know Bob Costas wasn't on the call, so that's at the very least good. But the Twitch is claiming that he didn't have a whole lot of energy. I'll say this. Sorry, do have to have a little bit of negativity in the first segment of the show. The crowd brought it more than they brought it against Seattle. Still not good enough.
I actually was meaning to bring that up with you. I didn't know if it was how TBS was miking things, because you know how like the Amazon broadcast, like it sounds like they're playing in an empty stadium every time. I wasn't sure if the Minute Maid crowd just wasn't as amped, especially going from the San Diego crowd, which looked absolutely nuts. At,
yeah.
Like, and when you consider it's like, wait, it's like 3 o'clock on a Tuesday and they're going nuts.
They were not on that level, Sean.
Okay.
They weren't. I would give them a C minus. I think it was better. I think it was better. Well, look, I'm a hard grader. I'm not like all these other, like, let's be honest and frank, all of these participation trophy generation teachers. Ooh, yeah, you can be higher than a millennial. You might be a Gen Xer if you're doing that. There's a lot of easy grading that's going on. I see this in sports in particular. Just C minus. It was below satisfactory. We played some broadcast calls yesterday of the Astros and Yankees in the ALCS, and it was absolutely impossible to hear Joe Buck. That was not the case last night. There were moments where it was good, but you got to pick it up a little bit more. I don't know. I heard the bench talking about it this morning too, and I don't know if it's start a bleep Altuve chant, like have someone say that just to get everybody else riled up, but I don't hate that idea.
I feel like it got loud like in that 2017-19, like how loud those crowds were after Yuli hits a home run or after Pena. But then, you know, three pitches later, it's back to like, is this like a June game against the Yankees? Like It's still a Yankees crowd where it's like, it's still filled. And it's not completely quiet, but it isn't a playoff atmosphere that we've seen in the National League.
You're right, Sean. It's a cake eater spoiled sense. And look, I don't blame people for getting this way. We all know that this town is a bit bandwagony when it comes to certain things. I have no problem with it. I think bandwagoning is totally cool. As you guys know, I'm the Patriots, Celtics, Astros, Tampa Bay Lightning fan. So, like, you know, sometimes it just works that way. Sometimes it be like that. Occasionally Mariners, but, you know, depends on what they do. It be like that sometimes. All I'm saying is, it felt like a wine and cheese kind of crowd. A little cake eatery. That's just me, though. If you disagree with that, 713-780-3776 to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can text in at that very same number. You can tweet me. At Galan says, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass, or join us on our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. So some of your thoughts next. Plus, you guys know I'm obsessed with the Fast and Furious movie franchise. Who is in the Astros family, and who right now is on the fritz? We pushing anybody out? We'll also talk about Justin Verlander's performance. Don't go anywhere. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Glorious sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
There is some talk about the Astros crowd. I didn't think it was bad last night. I want to make that clear. I just don't think it was as loud as I've heard it before. You can step your game up. There's still tonight. Framber Valdez is on the mound. He's going to need your help. But some comments. First off, on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Clutch City says, you get the wine and cheese crowds when it's $200 for a decent seat. That is true. No doubt about it. And again, as someone who grew up a Patriots fan, Gillette Stadium is a quiet, quiet environment. Foxborough Stadium, the old dump when the Patriots sucked and it was like trashy and it was fun and the metal bleachers without backs. That place was loud. Some other comments. King of all Twitches, the crowd gets loud when needed. But again, this is sort of a normal kind of game. Why? Because it's not the World Series. And Fuentes Respector, there's too many clowns showing up in costume, but not enough people who get loud at the appropriate times. Let's go to the phone, 713-780-3776. Chad leading it off on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Chad, what's up?
Hey, no, I definitely agree with you, man. I don't think the crowd was in it. I really don't. I think they need to step that up. That's one of the first things I noticed. When they went to Seattle, in that open stadium, the crowd there, it was deafening with the roof open. I could not even believe what I was hearing. Tonight, I think it's going to be a different game. I think the Yankees are going to be rested. They need to get into it. I think tonight's going to be a tough game for the Astros.
I'm with you on that, Chad. I appreciate the phone call there, too. So he's hearing the same thing as me. And he's right about the Seattle thing. Look, I know you guys get annoyed when I talk about my time in Seattle. Here's what I will say about Seattle. That city prides itself on being loud. And you can say they pump in noise, but, I mean, the football stadium, I know that they, purchased the rights to call themselves the 12th man from Texas A&M. But that place is loud as hell. It's the loudest NFL stadium I've been to. I'm not kidding on that front. And they are also pretty diehard about that Mariners team, considering how bad they've been. But they've always been known as a pretty loud crowd, which is surprising given the sort of passive-aggressive nature of Seattle. I'm not expecting you to meet that level when that's the first playoff game they've seen in 20-plus years. What I am asking for is more. This team that is playing against you has questioned every single accomplishment that this Astros team has made. And I feel like, given that you have not seen them in the playoffs since 2019, since before they started flapping their gums about the Astros cheating them out of a 2017 World Series, I feel like just as Astros, they need to go across the country and getting booed. This is where you get to tell the Yankees how you really feel. And again, I'm not someone to tell you how to root for as a fan. This is not something I do the same way that I used to anymore. I do miss sitting in the stands and just hooting and hollering and heckling people. That is a past life. But I feel like it could have been better last night. That's all. Matt is up next. Matt, what's going on? 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Totally agree. At worst case, when Presley comes in,
the wine and cheese rich diamond seat section is still sitting down. I mean, if you can't get up for that last inning, then you shouldn't be there.
Did you notice that on the broadcast,
Matt?
Appreciate
you taking me.
All right, cool. Appreciate the phone call. I'm guessing that anyone who was watching the television broadcast noticed that. I did not, because I was actually sitting down this time in the press area looking at the stadium.
So you're part of the problem, just sitting down in the ninth inning, not hooting and hollering.
You're right, Sean. Honestly, I will never like watching a game in a press box. I'm supposed to. It helps me concentrate. I can take notes. I can remember things that maybe I wouldn't as vividly remember if I were sitting in the stands. But, yeah, it's not the same. It's not as fun. It makes me feel a little bit disconnected with my youth and with the love of the game, the purity, the sportsmanship, or the lack of. Okay, I wanted to put together really quickly a list of who we consider in the Astros family and who isn't in the Astros family. Who among us doesn't love the Fast and Furious movie franchise? I know someone out there is saying, Paul, it's cheesy. It's played out. They've had too many sequels. Why hasn't Vin Diesel lost in a fight yet? How do they have six people that are under contract in the movie that can't lose in a fight? Jason Statham, The Rock. There are others, I think, too. I think Paul Walker couldn't lose in a fight either. RIP. Paul, why do you love this movie franchise so much? Because family. That's why. I mean, who can forget such important quotes in American cinema, like this one from the Fast and Furious franchise?
I don't have friends. I got family.
Yeah, and you trust family. Do you trust friends? Sometimes. And you know what else you make sure you do? You never turn your back on family.
You don't turn your back on family. Even when they do.
Unless it's, I don't know, Rafael Montero. But that's just me. Who is in family right now? Who do we welcome to the table? Mi familia. Who are we offering a Corona to? Number one, got to be Jeremy Pena. I'm giving him two. I'm giving him a lime in each one of those. I'm giving him a little salt, too. I am sprinkling that bottle. Yuli Gurriel, same thing. Yuli shows up for the playoffs. You know, you're not 100% sure what you're going to get from him in the regular season. You know he will show up for the playoffs. Hector Neris, I'm going to welcome him back in to the family. Sort of like that awkward part in one of the Fast and Furious movies where Jason Statham's character gets welcomed in after killing Han. He's family too, even though he killed one of us. Kind of problematic that it was an Asian guy. They just, the Asian guy's dead. Yeah, you can come and join and take his place.
Han faked his death, actually.
That's true.
People forget that.
That is true. And he just comes back eating like peanuts or something. Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez. Okay, they didn't do anything last night, but they're there. They've been there. Justin Verlander, he's back in. Great performance last night. And we do have to talk about it because I did have questions about Justin Verlander in the postseason. We also have Martin Maldonado. Right now, he's in the family. He gets a chair. But who's out of the family? Who is the Fredo Corleone of the Astros family at this moment in time? You might remember this from Godfather Part 1.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
You know, right there, he gave him his warning. We're not kicking these guys out of the family. We're just giving you the warning.
They're not going on the boat on the lake quite yet.
Not yet. But it could happen. Jake Myers. Rafael Montero. excuse me. God, a lot of these allergies are really acting up. Jose Altuve, you're on notice. 0 for 19. Again, I expect him to bounce back, but I thought that last night would be the night. He's going to have to play well at one point in this series. You can win, I think, one game where you're not getting any hits from Altuve and Bregman or Tucker or Yordan Alvarez. All four? No, that's not happening a lot. And I'll say that with Kyle Tucker and with runners in scoring position. Kyle Tucker's got some bad numbers with runners in scoring position. I think it was Danielle Lerner who tweeted it out last night, and the numbers aren't in front of me right now. I thought they were, but classic computers and classic Paul Gallant, not very good at multitasking. But he has to be better when he's given opportunities with runners in scoring position, and I think he could have really blown that game open, and he didn't. Anyone a designated hitter? It doesn't really matter at this point. You know, I suggested, like, throw David Hensley out there. I saw a couple other people do. And I always feel a little bit nervous whenever I suggest something that baseball people might jump down my throat for. But I don't know. I mean, Ledmus Diaz, Trey Mancini, it's not looking so hot with your designated hitter. And I don't know. Aren't they designated to hit? It's a thought. And Rafael Montero, as Sean, you tweeted that at me. I didn't go that far. Okay.
Hey, guy stinks.
He doesn't inspire confidence. That's for damn sure. I saw a bunch of people tweet at me too when I said, like, welcome to the Rafael Montero show. I think it was Dustin DeBerry who tweeted out, sad to see Ryan Stanek died. What the hell happened to Ryan Stanek? Anyway, all your Astros thoughts are on the table. That's who's on the fritz of the family right now, in the family, Jeremy Pena. Justin Verlander. It started off not great, but he was able to get things going eventually. Plus, a couple of NFL stories. It's the Paul Gallant Show after the Astros took a 1-0 lead in the ALCS with a 4-2 victory over the New York Yankees last night. Don't go anywhere. First, though, I have to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. Insurance rates are skyrocketing right now, and this crazy inflation has made everything more expensive, including your home policy. And customers, before making the switch to TGS, they had 30, 40, even 50% increases. Isn't that nuts? Everything's getting so expensive these days. So that's why a lot of my listeners switch to TGS. They make it fast and easy to save money. Instant quoting system that they have, it shops the market and delivers you saving in 15 seconds. Don't wait any longer. The time to save is right now. So grab your phone and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address, send that back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. TGS now has over 2,000 five-star reviews, and their average customer from 2022 is still saving over $800 on their home insurance. Simple, fast, easy, big savings. That's the TGS insurance way. Let them work for you today. One more time, text money to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
1-2 on the way, and a swing and a miss. He strikes at another one. That is six in a row.
He's feeling it.
Not going to lie, I was a little nervous for Justin Verlander those first two innings. I was thinking to myself, man, you combine this with game one against the Mariners, Bader goes yard, couple of pitches in the dirt in the first inning. But when Verlander was able to get into a groove, that was filthy. And there was a stretch where he struck out six in a row, as you heard right there, 8 of 10, and he finished the night with 11 strikeouts, which, by the way, makes him the all-time leader in postseason strikeouts. I did not think that we would see that, but yes, he surpassed the record with 219 strikeouts. It's funny, the Astros tweeted it out. With his eighth career postseason game with 10-plus strikeouts. But back to what we were saying, Justin Verlander is now the postseason leader in strikeouts. Gurriel home runned in the middle of that. Home runned is not a verb, but now it is. Here is Justin Verlander's 11th strikeout on the night.
Pitch on the way, and he got it. Threw him what looked like a slider down and in. Strikeout number 11 for Justin Verlander. A great outing, especially in his last three innings here tonight.
You know, I think I would have left him out there if I were in Dusty Baker's shoes. But credit to Dusty. He turned to Hector Neris. Neris gave the Astros a great inning. Baker continues to make good decisions this postseason. It's been very good to see. I would have left him in. He was pitching great, and especially with the groove that he found himself in. But you know what? If you want Verlander to pitch again in this series, that was probably the correct move to take him out when they did in the bullpen, was able to hang on. Verlander was asked about what was going on early and how he was able to overcome those early struggles.
I mean, I'm just telling yourself to keep making pitches. You know, I got in that situation and had to go to the well there and just kind of, you know, let it all hang out. Because in the playoffs, you know, in the regular season, I might be okay giving up a run right there, you know, maybe trying to just get a ground ball or, you know, whatever, that early in the game, not trying to be so intense. But in the playoffs, you don't have that luxury. So I, you know, gave it everything I had to try to get a couple strikeouts and was able to do that. And then from there, you know, that kind of mentality, just keep making your pitches and a couple adjustments that I was able to make fairly quickly on the off-speed stuff really paid off.
Trying to remember what at-bat was the one that made me laugh the most with Verlander. I want to say it was Josh Donaldson who took three strikes in a row and looked like a complete goofus.
Well, he had one where he struck out, and his like last pitch or the last swing that he took, he swung and missed, was like absolutely awful. And just like, oh, he just did not have a chance on that one.
You also have the Yankee great Don Mattingly wannabe Matt Carpenter with the mustache out there. Maybe Thurman Munson. I don't know if I'm getting my Yankees right. Who I think also had a couple of bad at-bats. We'll play some audio from him later on. Did get some comments on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Let's not turn this into a bash our players show from the E315. We need more Yankees hate like yesterday. I want to go back to Bader for just a second before we turn it over to the phones. There are some calls on the board right now. So this Bader guy, he has been doing very well. I saw him up at the plate and I'm like, man, this guy looks like just a wannabe Brett Gardner. But then I saw him in the dugout, and I saw the hair that he had, and I was like, damn, that's impressive hair. He's got that bussin' on God for real Gen Z haircut. You know, it's like a fade, and there's like a bunch of floof at the top. But then one of my buddies, Kyle, he sent me a picture of what Josh Bader used to look like when he was on the St. Louis Cardinals. The guy looked like Thor. You want to hate the Yankees? Look at that massacre, my boy! How are they this? They are so stifling. You're not good enough to stifle out, I don't know, individuality. You're not good enough to do that anymore. We only allow mustaches. Why? What a stupid arbitrary rule. The guy had great hair, and the Yankees are the one team that are like, you can't have this hair anymore. It might not grow all the way back. Who knows? Sean Mapes, you have long hair. Do you ever want to cut it?
No, not for my job.
Yeah.
Not if I go from playing with the Cardinals to playing with the Yankees. By the way, I get traded. It's not like I chose to. If it's one thing for guys that sign with the Yankees, or it's like, yeah, you know, it's part of the deal. You know,
yeah.
That's what you're signing up for, literally signing up for.
Signing up for the prestige, the attitude, the standard.
And neither of us would be... both of us, I guess, would have to change our look to join the Yankees.
Yeah, that would be absolutely outrageous. What do they want me to do? Like a buzz cut? Sorry. This isn't the military. Only Tom Brady served in the military, not the New York Yankees. We'll get to that in a moment. A couple of calls on the board. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line. We were talking about how Astros fans were a little quiet. It does sometimes feel like a wine and cheese kind of crowd. We got Chef. Did I say it right? Chef. Chef J calling. How do I say Chef? This is a big problem for me.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, bro?
What's going on, fellas? I mean, I can't complain, bro. First off, man, you know, you guys are talking about people at the table, man. And not only am I giving Pena a beer, he's going to get a shot. He's going to get a couple margaritas.
Hell, that dude
is just solid, man. And kudos to the Astros for taking that gamble and letting Correa walk. And this guy just slides in and becomes super, super intricate in our championship run, man. And then secondly, dude, are you guys really that surprised about the Astros fans? I mean, Houston in total, like the fan base here is just, it's just not good. I mean, these guys are spoiled. These games become corporate events and people are just there to make business deals or they got tickets from a family member or friend of theirs and half the people are like, oh, they probably just bought the Astros shirts right before the damn game. Like, these fans have always been like this. It's the same issue at the Rockets game. They come late. They don't cheer.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard when you're a really diehard Houston fan, you really rap your team. When you go to the games, these people are just sitting on their butts, man, just not really being involved in the game, man.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that, Chef J. I'm not sad or surprised. I'm disappointed, you know? It's not like it's unexpected. He is right. People do show up late here. I know that tons of excuses get made. Oh, the traffic. Yeah, that's like the number one. I get it. It's a sprawled out city. It is a pain in the ass to get down there, but it is sometimes late arriving. It was a little late arriving last night, and sometimes it's a little quiet.
To me, it's not even like the, like, just the, yeah, just be loud. Like, yeah. I honestly, you know.
You don't have to do it all game. Just in the appropriate spots. I mean, shoot, do we need, oh God, I hate to ask for this, Sean. Do we need yell leaders? Sean's laughing.
Go to break.
No.
Go to break.
No, I,
no,
listen.
No, put down your head, turn in your badge and gun. You're over, go on.
It's the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776. Did we even want to do football today? I don't think anyone wants to. The Astros took down the Yankees 4-2 in Game 1 of the ALCS. Game 2 is tonight. Framber Valdez on the hill for the Astros. Coming up next, we might have to dissect this yell leader thing a little bit more. Do the Astros need a... Sean's like, I'm going to kill you. What deserves more credit for this Astros victory last night? Is it the depth of the lineup? Is it Jeremy Pena? Is it Chaz McCormick? Is it Martin Maldonado? Is it all of those guys, Yuli Gurriel? Or is it the pitching? You get to decide that next, and we'll take your calls. Matt, we'll get to you. 713-780-3776. Don't go anywhere. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros took down the Yankees 4-2 last night. Justin Verlander goes six innings. He strikes out 11. Jeremy Pena, two doubles and a home run, continues to be the surprise of the postseason for this Astros team, an Astros team that got no hits from Jose Altuve, no hits from Alex Bregman, no hits from Yordan Alvarez, no hits from Kyle Tucker last night. They still win. You got to feel pretty good going into game two. I'm not going to act like I'm supremely confident. I'm not going to lie. I found myself, and I texted Sean this during the game, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I don't feel that confident. I should feel more confident. And I think part of it had to do with the fact that Verlander didn't look so hot. And I think once I texted him was when, or right about around where everyone started going yard for the Astros. Yuli Gurriel, Chaz McCormick, Jeremy Pena, all of those guys. But it begs the question, and you can answer this at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line, or join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Who deserves more credit for last night? Is it the pitching, or is it the Houston Astros bats? The Astros are a pitching team. You know how some football teams say, we're a running football team. I think we've heard Lovie Smith say that a couple of times about the Houston Texans this year. The Astros have won all season long because of their pitching, and they won last night because of their pitching. The Rafael Montero show is never exactly the easiest to watch. I will give him credit, though, because he was able to get out Aaron Judge. He just allowed home run a little bit later. I feel like outside of that, though, after Justin Verlander shook off the first and the second inning and got into a groove, Hector Neris comes in. He's been so damn reliable this postseason. Ryan Pressly comes in for a four-out save. He gets three strikeouts along the way. This team's pitching is out of bleeping control deep. It is nuts. I mean, just think about what the Yankees have to do. Tyon comes in there from the Woodlands. He's got an uphill battle as it is. And they do have some good pitching. Gerrit Cole's had a great year, no matter what we think of him. Nestor Cortez is an all-star. They have some good guys in the bullpen, too. They got rid of Aroldis Chapman, which also makes them better by subtraction. But they just do not have the horses to stick with the Astros. I mean, think about in the last round of the playoffs. You didn't even see Jose Urquidy. Didn't even see him. And by the way, you played in an 18-inning game. you have unbelievable pitching depth right now. And I feel like, yes, the back of the order does deserve credit for holding their own. It's not something I'm expecting out of Chaz McCormick or Martin Maldonado going forward. Maldonado had that double in the second inning that gave the Astros the lead. Did not expect that. I really did not. And I'll give Maldonado flowers when he is due them. And I think also he deserves a lot of credit for helping Verlander shake off whatever the hell was going on those first couple of innings where he threw three in the dirt. Just wasn't on his A game from the start of the game. He deserves credit for that. But I'm not expecting that going forward. I am expecting the pitching to be this the whole way through. And depending on what happens tonight, we might start entertaining another conversation. We might start entertaining the undefeated postseason conversation. But they have to do well tonight. And we'll see what Framber Valdez is able to do. I am not, just like I think it's fair to have been skeptical about Justin Verlander going into last night's start. I know that some people are like, oh, you gotta have faith. I don't know. Playoff numbers aren't great. 2019, he wasn't good against the Mariners. There was enough of a body of work for you to say, I'm not 100% sold that I'm going to get 2022 Cy Young Justin Verlander in the playoffs. It's not to say he's bad. It's not to say he sucks in the postseason. It's to say, like, you're not necessarily going to get a 11 strikeout, 6 inning, 1 earned run performance. You're not necessarily going to get that. 3 hits along the way. But he delivered. I want to see if Framber Valdez can do that for a second straight time. He wasn't amazing against the Mariners, but he was good. And good is really all we are looking for. So 713-780-3776 if you have a call or if you have a text about who deserves more credit. Sean, who do you think deserves more credit for last night? Is it the pitching or is it the bats, specifically the back of the order, the heroes that can come at any moment, as Jeremy Pena described?
Yeah, if you're limiting to the second half, or I guess it was the guys that aren't the stars in the batting order. I think those guys, really, because they were the entire offense. that was, I mean, it was Pena who bats second, and then everyone else, it's McCormick, it's Maldi, it's, who's the other one? I just completely brain farted. I'm sorry.
You said Maldonado, you said McCormick. Yuli was the other one who hit a home run.
There we go.
But it's weird with Yuli. Like, Yuli in the sixth spot is not, I think, a part of that crew. Yuli is in his own conversation. It's like, oh, it's playoff G, Yuli Gurriel.
Who? Playoff G? Did you just...
I just made that up.
Oh, okay.
Playoff Yuli? Is that better?
No, just playoff G is funny.
Playoff Rondo? I don't know.
Playoff P?
Playoff G might... Yeah, you know what? Can you call people a G in 2022? I don't even know.
Oh, it's Gurriel. Playoff Gurriel.
See, that's how dumb I am. I didn't even think about that. I was sort of like playoff G because, like, you know, OG.
Oh, you actually were just saying he's an OG.
Yeah. No, I didn't think about that. Thank you for explaining
Paul George,
it for me.
Playoff P.
See, blind squirrel finds nuts a lot. That's me. Like, the amount of puns that I will say, not intending to say them, and people are like, oh, that was funny, Paul. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, wait, I'm just going to roll with it.
Yes, but Gurriel was also good last night.
Yes, Gurriel was good last night. What were we talking about before that? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN.
But as a whole for this playoff run, this undefeated playoff run, I do think it is the pitching as a whole. But last night it was the 6-9.
Okay, so you're crediting the offense. And look, I mean, Jeremy Pena, every single time he's at the plate now, I'm starting to expect something good to happen, whether that's a walk, a single, a double, a home run. I don't even know what anymore. But how confident would you be after following up a essentially walk-off home run? It wasn't, but, you know, an 18th inning home run against the Mariners. You follow that up with your very next at-bat. You are doubling. You double twice in this game. You hit a home run. I mean, you're slugging your brains out to open this thing up. And we know Pena's got some pop. We know Pena's like a big-bodied, sturdy guy. Like, he's an impressive, I hate to say the word specimen, but as far as baseball players go, that is a guy who has got quite the look. Like, he actually looks like he could play a lot of different sports. And in last night's game, I mean, there was not a moment where you think it's too big for him at all. I don't even want to say Carlos Correa who, but I saw a couple of comments on the Twitch chat, and like, I understand why you're like, yeah. And you know what? I mean, I know that there's some disagreement going on between James Click and Jim Crane. Maybe it has to do with Justin Verlander's contract. Maybe it's something else. But James Click having the stones to just walk away from Carlos Correa and they walked away. Like they just stopped talking to him was a brilliant decision. It really was. One I did not think would be a brilliant decision. You heard me bitching and moaning going into the season when Vanessa and I were still together about how I wanted Carlos back. And I still wanted Carlos back for a while. Then Peña had that little slump and I wanted Carlos back again. And I feel like an idiot because the guy has stepped up and delivered. And he deserves so much credit for it. That is a ton of pressure to be put in. And I get it. It's not like New York or Boston or something like that where you have media people that are like breathing down your neck every single day. There's less, I think, pressure to joining a team that's been so good for so long and replacing someone like Carlos Correa. The expectations are so low for you just because you're a new part of this team. I thought to myself, okay, if he's a defensive specialist that can be occasionally a plus at the plate, great. He has been more than a plus at the plate. And in this postseason, I mean, he looks better than Jose Altuve. That's partly an indictment on Jose Altuve, but good God, Jeremy Peña has been so awesome. And last night, too, like, if you are a young Astros fan, I think you're thinking about buying his jersey. Like, this guy's going to be here for a while, and maybe he's not the best fielder, but a performance like this in your first postseason on a team that you expect to make the postseason for years to come, wow, really. I can't take my hat off enough, although I only wear a hat when I don't shower. So you don't want to see that. You don't want to see me take my hat off for that. No. Since it's, like, all sweaty and gross. There might be, like, some, you know, gel in there. It looks kind of nasty. I don't know. Anyway. Hey, it's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776. Lone Ranger 614 says, good for you to admit when you are wrong. You know what? You are right that not enough people do this, and I'm going to pat myself on the back for admitting when I was wrong. No, I'm just kidding on that front.
Yeah,
Sean
Flatt. Now you're taking credit. You're patting yourself on the back for admitting that you're wrong.
I'm such a good radio host that I do that. You know what, though? I do not understand why people, like, double down on takes. I remember talking to, like, a program director back in the day, and they were like, oh, well, if you have a take, you should marry yourself to it. And I'm like, no, why? What if I'm wrong? What if I end up wrong? Why would I marry myself to it?
Everyone would have to still be saying that Josh Allen stinks.
Yes, seriously. Oh, my God, Sean. Yeah, I was. That's probably the most wrong I've ever been in my life was Josh Allen.
Most wrong everyone was.
Seriously.
Because he stunk.
He was awful.
He was bad.
We watched
now
him
he's not.
That game against the Texans, like, if that's the only experience you had of Josh Allen and, like, you hadn't watched Josh Allen, if you got, like, frozen or something like that in ice and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the NFL. I think anyone would be like, are you on crack? What are you bleeping talking about?
What happened to all the other NFL quarterbacks?
Yes. Yeah. Wait, what? Tom Brady's in Tampa Bay? What? What's going on? What is happening? I mean, talk about changing your mind on things. I changed my mind on something that was going on in Seattle. I ended up getting canceled for it. God forbid. I guess you're supposed to just, like, go down with the take, like the captain on the Titanic. I don't know. That ain't me. 713-780-3776. So, yes, thank you for complimenting me on admitting where I'm wrong. And
so, yeah, Paul, you're good.
Allowing me to pat myself on the back.
Good job, Paul.
Thank
Paul
you.
Was right. No,
Paul
was
wrong.
Paul
was wrong. Okay, coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show. In the next hour, we will make fun of the Yankee fans who lost. I mean, is there anything better than watching that fan base suffer? Seriously, is there anything better than watching those people squirm, growl? That's coming up next. The best of sad Yankee fans next, right here. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.